Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and checking us out this week. We're kind of in a dark place, or maybe a place that is not as dark as it once was. And maybe, I don't know, dancing mushrooms, man. Rodrigo, what's going on? Please, show us around this facility.
Yeah, so last time...
On Critical Hit!
Our intrepid adventurers made their way down to an enormous vault in the so far abandoned island of a dwarvish god. That sound about right?
Yep.
Sounds like it.
So there you guys are in a stone vault. It's just massive, massive. As you guys continue to go down the path that you're on, you start to encounter buildings. And this path turns into a street. And once you get to what appears to be the bottom, you guys are essentially on an underground street. Some buildings rise for a few stories. Others are very, very tall, and a select few buildings kind of seem to meet up with other buildings that are upside down hanging from the ceiling. But those are pretty rare. Everything appears to be entirely abandoned.
Are there stones down here as well?
There are. Once you start moving into the street, you see more of them. And these are kind of these standing stones, sort of roughly egg-shaped, but more flat. They're not like a full three-dimensional egg. They're kind of a roughly teardrop, like cabochon, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Cowboy Curtis.
Yep. Cowboy Bebop at his computer.
And don't forget to buy luminescent mushrooms.
Yes. Also starring a bunch of little mushrooms that Sakaar can cause to appear at will.
Amanita muscarita, glow in the dark, yo. Just do not eat them.
But what if you puts it down? Want to have a really good time?
Actually, these would be a really bad time, but nonetheless.
Yeah, it's like, it's not that they like get you high or anything. They just scream.
Oh, so these are Feywild mushrooms.
Help me!
Honestly, as far as Orym can see, there is a very thin line between Sakaar's magic and just kind of that natural nonsense from the Feywild. Mm-hmm. Like, it all kind of flows from the same place.
Well, that it's puts like, things in more perspective then.
Yeah, definitely. Like, what Eladrin tend to do is, like, here's all this, like, wild magic from the Feywild, and they tend to like stratify it into arcane magic. Mm-hmm. Sakaar just kind of has a lot of like valves and floodgates that he just like opens and just lets that right into his body like a total weirdo.
Doesn't know what it is, but it's going to be a lot of fun to try and, you know, mainline it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But yeah, so there you guys are on a street with big stone buildings.
Is there any kind of a clear, can we see what might be at the center of this underground city?
Not from where you're at. You can, basically what you can do is you can try to estimate roughly how far away the center of the city would be and have the mushrooms appear there.
Okay. Sakaar, do that.
Do we have an idea of what orientation we're on to where we might be going towards the building that we know we wanted to go towards?
Does anybody have a decent dungeoneering score?
Randus did.
Like above 15.
Yeah.
Oh, Randus. 15?
Above 15?
Or 15 or above.
Oh, mine's only 12.
Yeah. I got a 15.
I say Ket, yeah. Sakaar both have 15s.
Yeah, this isn't like a crazy maze. Like if you have dungeoneering trained basically, or enough points from here and there to have it, might as well be trained. Then you can be like, yep, that's the way we came in. This is the direction we were going. It's not a problem. If you don't, then you definitely do start to feel kind of turned around because there's no light sources, so you can't see the sun and figure out which way is east or west. Right. If your dungeoneering is low, you might be able to be like, okay, here's the way we came in, here's where we're going. But you might, like, you don't know, oh, that way is east, for example. Whereas if you got good dungeoneering, you got all that stuff down. And also, you know not to bite those mushrooms because it'll scream.
Right. Okay. So, Aurum said we want to move towards the center.
The center,
of the city.
I believe,
mean,
yes.
Towards the dome?
Well, we don't know where the dome is.
But we have a rough idea.
Well, it's up above us.
We know which direction it would have been.
Yes, that's what we're trying to do.
We'll go that direction?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Over there!
Okay.
Okay. Are you trying to get them to light your way, or are you trying to like send them roughly where you think the dome would be?
I'm going to try and send them roughly where I think the dome would be.
Okay. So the little mushrooms that are around you like kind of tone down the glow, and then you can see kind of this bright, basically you can see the edge of some buildings that are in your way, but you can see where the little mushrooms have popped up.
We should travel that direction.
Okay, you head in that direction. Yep, you walk down these streets for a while. You guys still have your sun rods out, so it's not a big deal. Although Orem can't really retrieve his because it fell on a really tall building that way.
Obviously, no one came out to pick it up or shake their fist at us and say, nobody. Adventurers, get off my lawn.
Yeah, nobody came out to tell you that.
That sun rod's on my roof and I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
Well, but when the dragon eats us, it'll have a sun rod in its mouth. It'll be the ultimate brick joke.
yes, 10 episodes from now.
Uh-huh. Pay attention.
So you guys are heading in that direction and you round the corner and find a dome. Except.
I don't like except.
Well, what do you think? Except what?
Except it's inverted. It's an emod.
That is correct. you have in fact. Okay, we'll let Rob get it out of his system.
Well, it's a good thing that he's got those spider climb things.
Emod.
You laugh, but that dome's going to be infested with nilbogs, and then we're all going
to die. I've broken Rob, so.
I'm so dumb.
Okay.
Okay. I think so. Now?
Thank you, Matthew. Okay. I really needed to clap on that.
All right. Happy to be of service.
So, yes, you guys find an inverted dome. In fact, you are looking at what you now put together to be the bottom half of a sphere.
These craftsmen are exquisite.
And of course, it's all like in sharp relief as the little mushrooms are like casting this like white greenish light on it.
Uh-huh. So we're at the bottom of the bowl.
Yep.
Zakar, send your lights up there to the where the center of this sphere would be.
Over there! All right, send them there.
Okay, some lights appear there.
Is there anything in the center of the sphere?
Not really. The center is like the widest part, right?
That sure.
It like touches the ceiling.
Right.
There doesn't appear to be a pathway or a doorway or a ladder or anything. Probably if there is a place to access it, it would be one supposes at the bottom. There's also no like supports or anything for it, no buttresses or anything. It's just a big wide open area with an enormous dome hanging down from it. It does seem to either, from where you're standing, it either touches the ground or comes very close to touching the ground.
Is it climbable?
Probably not. I mean, not easily. It's pretty smooth, and you would have to start your climb completely, basically completely hanging down.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you, like, climbed. Nope. Actually, no matter what, you'd have to climb, like, some sort of, like, ceiling type thing, either by getting to the bottom and climbing up, or going to the wall, climbing up, and then climbing along the ceiling. That's pretty much the only way to climb onto it.
Would it be doable with Ket's spider climbing stuff?
Yeah, because that stuff just lets you walk on walls.
Or wouldn't have to go upside down at all?
You probably could get to a point where you don't have to go completely upside down.
Okay. Because I don't think they would let me go upside down.
Yeah, he'd slip out of the boots.
Because he doesn't tie his shoes tight enough.
Yep.
So we're thinking that and it's just a perfect dome on this side as well, right? Like, it doesn't look like there's any entrance or window or
nothing. Not from what you can see. Then again, you guys, I'm guessing, are not necessarily walking right up to it. Like, are you guys actually, like, getting in there and start checking it out?
How steep is it?
How steep? Pretty steep.
Hmm.
You said the bottom of the dome almost touches the street?
It seems to, from where you're standing, yeah.
Are any of the other structures in and around it, do they look like they might have access back up to the surface?
Not really. Definitely not the ones close to the dome. Unless it's on a very roundabout way where you like walk into this building and then there's more tunnels underneath and you can, you know, follow that up back to the wall and up to the surface. There's nothing obvious. Probably the nearest upside down building, which is, you know, a few blocks back, probably could have access to the surface.
I think we should try and get right up to it and see what we can, if we can see anything.
Yeah. Can you have the mushrooms walk around it and
I can grow. Have them do a little dance.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you kind of have to use them as like a spotlight, so you can't really move them around. If you want them, like you can basically point to a place and they'll show up there.
But we can't like make them move necessarily. Right.
I mean, can we have them, like, not obviously not move, but just kind of show up all across the surface of the sphere? Not necessarily once, but just basically illuminate a section as we try and get closer to it to see if we can see anything that's not just perfect sphere.
I say yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
So have them like show up and move and just move them like a sector at a time around it to see if we can find anything and see anything.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
You command them to grow on the dome, and they don't.
What is the dome made of?
It appears to be made out of stone.
But it doesn't have any seams. And they've been growing out of the seams.
It might. You're not close enough to really see.
Oh, well, I don't know then.
Yeah. But yeah, they seem to not want to grow out of it.
Oh, they do not wish to go there.
Could it be in some way warded to prevent them?
Possibly. I'm not entirely sure if it's a question of can't so much as don't want to.
Well, maybe we should wander around a little bit more, see if we can find a tunnel or a staircase that would lead up to it.
Yeah, let's say. Let's check it out.
I guess we're looking for a way to get up. I guess the thing that I'm... So we're at the bottom. We're looking up the bottom of a sphere. Yep. Or bottom of a dome. Which one is it? Because a sphere implies that it, at the midpoint, it connects to something. We would be able to see like the edge. But this goes up to like a ceiling and then perhaps continues on the other side?
Yes. Okay. So remember the dome?
Yes, on the outside.
On the outside?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the top half of this.
Okay, so it's two domes, but we don't see... I mean, is there a gap between like the edge of the dome and the ceiling? Or does it just like go right into the ceiling? I'm trying to see if this is a giant ball that's been like wedged into space. Or if there's a bottom dome and then, you know, it's been split inside to where there's another layer and then there's a dome on top of that. It probably doesn't matter. I'm just trying to, get my head around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Orin breaks out his slide rule and tries to figure out the circumference and volume of it, he realizes that it, in fact, even though it goes up to the ceiling, it does seem to form a perfect sphere.
Okay.
With the one on top. Okay. It's not like there's a dome and then, 20 feet of bedrock more dome.
All right. Okay. So then let's just explore this thing and see if there's a way in.
All right. So as you guys get up to the dome, you see that it, in fact, does not quite touch the ground.
How far from the ground is it?
Well, at first it seems like it just a little bit, but this thing is enormous. So as you get closer, the very edge of the sphere appears to be about 10 feet off the ground.
Hey, let's see. Who are our two tallest people?
Sakaar and Sakaar as a snake.
How tall are you, Randus?
Not that tall.
Taller than me?
No.
I'm only 5'8".
Are you?
Yeah.
Only. I'm the shortest.
I think Ket would be the second tallest.
Ket, climb on top of Sakaar and see if you can reach up and punch that sphere. Knock on it. See if there's anybody home. Or let's get something to stand on and see if we can...
That seems extraordinarily dangerous.
I'm going to tap on it with my stick.
Hey! Ket has reach.
Ket does have reach, specifically with the staff.
All right, so Ket's going to walk to the underside of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Ket walks up to the underside of it, looks up to top of the dome, and sees that there is a door.
Whoa! Tap on the door instead.
Okay.
Knock, knock, anybody home?
When you tap on the door, you get this brief, weird feeling like some force is trying to pull the stick away from you.
Oh.
I quickly jerk my stick back. And did I actually tap on the door, or did it?
Yep. Yeah, you tapped it.
Okay.
It's made of metal. It clanged.
Felt like that was trying to take my staff.
Oh. Or was it trying to just pull you up?
I don't know.
If I observe him doing it, could I make some kind of like thievery check to figure out what is happening?
Maybe. You can definitely make some sort of check to figure out what is happening.
Yeah.
Oh. Arcana?
Perception?
I can pull out my little gem out of my pocket and take a look.
Okay. Everybody's going to gather around Kat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Try that again.
Reach up.
Yep.
Go to tap on the door.
Okay. Yep. When you get to tap to the door, you feel it again. But it's pretty hard for you guys to like really see what's happening because you can't tell that it's happening. Like Kat can feel
there's
it.
There's no visual but
there's,
aspect.
Yeah, there's not like wham 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 or anything like that. He just and kind of the moment that it happens, you know, Kat still has his grip on the stick, so nothing happens to it.
If I like throw a bolt or anything at it, does it?
If you
it's funny because Orm also had a rock in his hand. Randus threw a bolt at it.
Like a crossbow bolt?
No, just like...
Oh, just like a piece
bolt
of...
Bolt and nut.
Like a nut and bolt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, Randus throws a bolt at it, and it seems to stick to the door.
Hmm. Huh.
What is your stick made of?
Sticky material.
Summer tree.
Something long, brown, and sticky.
So not something that's naturally magnetic.
That's right. So it's probably not a magnetic thing.
Orm throws his rock at the door.
Okay. It sticks to the door.
Okay.
Sakaar leaps up and puts his hands on the door.
Okay. Sakaar leaps up and kind of weirdly, briefly seems to be hanging from the door, even though he's not grabbing onto anything. It's just like his palms are up against it. And then he kind of gets slightly disoriented and flops down onto the door. So basically he flops up onto the door.
So is gravity changed?
Yep.
Neat.
Okay.
It's very disorienting as Sakaar stands back up, especially because he felt and it kind of like shifted his perception. It looks like everybody else is on the ceiling.
Hmm. Does the door seem to have any latching type action?
Yeah. It looks like it can be opened without too many problems. It's not like it doesn't have like a big padlock on it or anything.
If I take my rope, what direction does it fall?
Towards the dome.
If I take my rope and fling it towards Randus, what direction does it fall?
It falls towards the dome.
Tie Orm's rock to it, then throw it.
If I'm going to throw something, I'm going to throw something good.
Why don't you open the door?
Sakaar opens the door.
Okay. You've just opened a big, you know, from your perspective, downward pointing door. There's a set of stairs leading down.
Everybody roll
which is,
in.
Which is up for everybody else.
Right. I'm going to teleport onto the stairs.
Okay. Bzoom.
I'm a hurl.
Yeah, Kat kind of rolls down the stairs. Because he was like, basically from Sakaar's perspective, Kat appears right above the stairs, but his head is down and his feet are up.
Oh, no.
Oh, that looks so painful.
But, you know, he just kind of rolls down a ways.
Ow.
So if Randus reaches up as far as he can, and Sakaar reaches down, which is up as far as he can.
Yeah, it's 10 feet. Like, some amount of reaching and jumping will get pretty much everybody within, like, grabbing distance.
All right, we'll all do that.
Yeah.
Like, leap. You can all jump, like, 10 feet easily. Like, just being epic level characters, I mean, you have enough, like...
Oh. No.
Enough base in athletics that you can actually make this jump.
I have a 10 at athletics.
Cool.
All right. So you all jump?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. It is probably not the most graceful thing, but you all make it onto the dome.
Except
hey, look, those other buildings are right side up now.
More graceful than Ket.
This is really weird.
Yeah.
But ingenious once again.
Yeah. Shall we venture inside?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Maybe find some people or some sort of defensive control device.
Oh. All right, you guys want to give me a marching order?
I'll take points so I can look out for traps.
Okay.
I'll be right behind her in case something needs stabbing.
There's no traps on the first 20 or so steps.
I think I'll take the rear.
A little bit of cat blood, but
no traps.
Just so in case something comes in behind us that it doesn't get the squishiest people.
Okay. So cat and Orim in the middle.
Yep.
Okay.
Middle squish.
All right, you guys go down the stairs. Little Sparkle can give us a perception check.
Got a 35.
Okay, that's pretty good. And it definitely gets you the following. You go down the stairs and find kind of an antechamber that the stairs lead down into, which then has an archway that leads to another chamber. Before moving on to that other chamber, you realize, based on the masonry, that the orientation of that chamber is different. It's kind of perpendicular to this one.
So do I think gravity is going to change again?
That is a very real possibility.
Oh, boy. I think we should be ready for gravity to change again.
Okay.
I pull out a chain with some metal at the end. Mm-hmm. When I hold that chain out and the metal dangly thing at the end, whatever that may be, a ring or something, what happens?
Out into the next chamber?
No, just right where I'm at.
It points down.
Okay, so it's not like there is any kind of a magnetic force that may be pulling us in that direction or anything.
Nope.
Okay.
You guys are, 21st century peeps, so you can think of it as gravity, but really, more than anything, is just down is in different directions in different places.
I can dig that.
Okay.
My brain hurts.
Well, we know that the gods can control the flow of time in their vicinity. I wonder if they can control other forces as well.
Well, time and gravity, I believe, are connected with one another.
According to the laws of arcane relativity?
Well, I mean, there was this thing called theoretical laws in the Cerulean Academy, and
Albert Ellerdenstein wrote those.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really weird, but some people think so.
E equals MC plus 2 to hit.
Yes. Title of this episode.
There you go.
Energy equals magic components.
Yeah.
There you go. E equals MC hammer. All right, so there's a room that seems to be perpendicular.
Mm-hmm.
Do we wish to check this theorem?
Sure. We can toss something in there and see where it falls.
Shakar leaps in.
Okay. Oh, give me an acrobatics
check. Something besides you, but okay.
Definitely something.
Hang on. Let me check what my acrobatics is now.
I believe you do get to roll two dice because that feat covers both athletics and acrobatics.
Jumping fish hooks. I do. Do, do, do. Do, 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 do. Then I get to add like 53 to it. 39.
39 is pretty good. Sakaar does kind of a, when people like leap forward and tug into a roll, except it's kind of a weird backflip because that's kind of where the direction that he's heading all of a sudden. So, yep, there you guys are. You guys are standing around and Sakaar is kind of standing on the wall in the room next to you.
E equals MC Escher.
I am going to reach out to Sakaar
for help.
Step over to the next wall.
Okay. Floor. Yeah, definitely with some help you can make it over without any problems. But it's very disorienting, like the first second or so that you're standing there. And it gets more disorienting with if you look at the rest of the party behind you, if you face forward or face into the room, then you very quickly adjust.
Okay. Fair, yeah.
So you guys continue?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, MC Escher is correct in a lot of ways. You guys will sometimes enter a room and there will be two ways out of a room, and one of them will be a staircase that seems to just kind of be lying the wrong way on the ground. And then if you basically try to walk onto it, you'll get oriented to the staircase, even though the rest of the room is not oriented that way. And but then you can take the staircase to another room, which, you know, might be to the wall or the ceiling where the staircase is concerned, and so on and so forth. There are rooms that you walk into that have latches or kind of cellar doors on the ceiling of it, and you know, you realize that this room has two downward orientations depending on where exactly you're standing, and you know, stuff like that.
Wow.
Weird.
This is very strange. Is there any way to kind of gauge whether we're moving through the dome or towards the center of the sphere, or if we're just sort of randomly frasm-smasming about it?
So you guys definitely do some random moving around at first. But after a while, again, those of you with a decent dungeoneering score can more or less figure out which direction the center is and, you know, maintain that direction, whether, you know, because you'll walk into a room and that direction will suddenly become down or, you know, to the left or the right or whatever. So you can tell, basically you guys spend some time just kind of meandering until you guys get, figure out more or less where you are, which is pretty close to the edge of the dome. You guys haven't ventured very deep into it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we want to try to strive to get towards the center.
The middle, the inside, the core.
The middle.
Yeah.
All of the above.
So as were these rooms, Rodrigo, is there markings, indicators, furniture? I mean, is there anything, or is this just like one weird 3D maze after another?
It's really not. I mean, it is one weird 3D maze after another because of the nature, like the just bonkers nature of which direction down is at any given point.
Right.
But all of these rooms seem to be purposeful. In fact, there is something about them that is eerily familiar, definitely for Randus and Sakaar. These look kind of a lot like the inside of a keep. So, you know, there'll be a room, and even though there are no weapons around, you'll see some racks, and it's like clearly this is a, you know, part of a barracks. Or there will be, you know, or an armory. There you'll get someplace and there'll be like a straight up vault door, and it's like, yeah, this is, you know, place where you store your treasures.
Are there any standing stones within the rooms in the dome?
There are not.
Okay. I keep saying dome and I shouldn't, because it's technically a sphere and we know that.
Sure.
And if I think of it as a dome, it's going to not only confuse me, it's going to confuse everybody doing fan art.
That's kind of the problem with these partial reveals. Is that, you know, they're fun and they're interesting, right? It's like when you get to it, you're like, whoa, this thing, there's more to this thing. But also, you know, setting terminology or like a peek behind the curtain, setting terminology early is important and sometimes can, like in this case, work against you.
Yep.
So, yes, it is in fact the sphere. You guys are moving or are trying to move towards the core, from what I understand.
The center of a sphere, yes.
If we get attacked by jellyfish, I'm going to be sad.
All right. So, yeah, is that the plan? You guys are moving towards the core?
Yeah,
I think that's the plan. Sakaar's expectation is that if there is a god, he might be at the center of this whole mess.
Yeah, that's what I think we all think.
Yeah. Well, I just said it out loud, so it's my theory.
Sure.
Hey, it worked for Thomas Edison.
All right.
No, Thomas Edison would have just stolen somebody else's thoughts. So, like, Randus would have said, I bet the god is in the center. And then Sakaar would be, yes, this is my idea. I've thought of it. I'm going to sue you now, Randus, for stealing my idea.
That's true. I thought of that when I went to the Cerulean Academy of Vampire Magic.
That's a night school.
Yeah.
Of course it's a... Never mind. Okay.
Vampire towards... school, you say.
Yeah, it's Steve Guttenberg's best movie. I cracked myself up. I'm going to keep moving towards the core of the sphere.
Okay. well, it takes you guys a while because even once you kind of get your bearings, it's hard to maintain your bearings. But eventually you guys get to a very large door, which because of the way it opens, you are basically, so you get to a wall which has a large metal door on it, but the metal door is sort of raised off the ground. So there's a good, you know, maybe 3 feet up before the door starts. And because of where the hinges are and the shape of the door, you guys are pretty sure that this is like a cellar door on the other side.
So, interesting.
Yeah, the moment that you open it, you're going to be falling through it.
Oh, to the ceiling on the other side.
No, like, if you, like right now where you're standing, you like flip it once and this door is at the ceiling. You guys are on the wall.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. As soon as we open the door, the relative gravity is going to pull us down into the hole.
Yep, back into the same room.
Meaning that...
Could we tether ourselves in some way?
You could, but you'd have to... Basically, you have to open the door first and then see if there's something to hook yourselves onto. You can also just... Like, the door has a big handle. Mm-hmm. So you could try tying yourselves to that and then, like, kicking the door open and then trying to pull yourselves up. The problem is that if you pull the right way, then the door's just going to come flinging back.
Sure.
This sounds like an athletics check.
Go for it, strong guy.
There's definitely just the possibility of flinging the door open and then just grabbing onto the edge and pulling yourselves up like you're doing a chin-up.
Yeah, also sounds like an athletic check.
Yes.
Sakaar is going to try whichever of those looks the most awesome.
Well, definitely tying yourself to the door, kicking it open, and possibly flinging yourself into another room would look the most awesome.
There you go.
You just have to... Okay, all right.
Do our boots of climbing and swimming do anything for us in this situation?
Yes, they do.
Could perhaps Sakaar do the kicking and Little Sparkle be the one that tries the controlled flinging?
Yeah, because I could use acrobatics.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. So walk me through what you do.
So we tie Little Sparkle to the door.
Okay.
And have Sakaar kick it.
And then I try to bungee jump.
And you jump and, yeah. Try to ride the thing and find a good place to land.
Works for me. All right, you guys do that?
Yeah.
Sounds like a terrible plan. Let's do it.
Okay. Oh, God.
All right.
Do we ever have anything else?
You tie a little sparkle to the thing. Sakaar kicks it open. And sure enough, the thing flies open and pulls a little sparkle along with it. She flies into the room.
Can I try to acrobatics to not fall too hard?
Yeah, go ahead.
36.
36 is pretty good. Yeah, a little sparkle in one swift motion cuts the rope, twirls around, and kind of superhero lands. Poosh. Basically, right, the door swings open all the way, slams down with a huge metallic sound. Little Sparkle lands on top of it, with a much, much quieter metallic sound. when she looks up to see where she is, Little Sparkle sees that she is in a vast room with an enormous throne, basically right across from where she is. And sitting on this enormous throne is, in fact, an enormous dwarf, like a creature so big that it could, you know, walk by and pat those like dwarf golems you guys fought on the head. Like you guys could easily all stand on his palm.
Wow.
But also you have to think of dwarf proportions. You know, they have like really big hands and feet and head, and, you know, kind of short limbs, like big torso. So, you know, the factor all that in. But yeah, this is gigantic.
It's a big dwarf.
Yeah. He has a long gray beard, long gray hair, is wearing some black metal armor, and is wearing a kind of iron, like wrought iron crown. And the moment the door clangs and Little Sparkle lands on it, she can see that he kind of has his head down, like not like hanging down, just like sort of not looking straight forward. And the moment she lands on it, she sees his eyes open and look at her.
Sorry for the rude entrance. Are you Obregon? Ulrigan?
Ulrigan.
Ulrigan, sorry.
He looks a Little Sparkle and sighs and says, "Away with you, bird creature. I would be alone."
You okay in there?
I found Ulrigan.
Oh, good.
Hello, sir.
He doesn't seem happy to see us, though.
Understandable.
Can you open the door?
Oh, yeah. Give me a second. Can I open the door from where I am?
Oh, the door's open.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys, like, flung it open.
Oh, good. Can we just leap through it?
Sure.
Try that.
All right, you guys leap through?
Yep.
Have you guys ever seen when a cat tries to like make it to like the kitchen aisle or a table and doesn't quite make it?
Yes, mm-hmm. It's the best.
Yeah, so that there's three of those or four of those.
Are you sure there's four? There's not three? I thought there was three.
You sure there's multiple of us even attempting to leap?
Okay, so there's three of them in that. Three of you probably make it. Cat doesn't even try it, and he just kind of holds up his stick and waits for somebody to pull him up.
That's just mean.
I wasn't going to make it. We all know I wasn't going to make it.
It's true. But it would have been funny to watch.
He's already had one comedic pratfall this episode.
Sikar will lift Orym, or not Orym, excuse me. Sikar will lift Cat into the room.
Thank you.
Cat is in the room.
Are we all in the room?
You are all in the room. It is a huge stone throw room with a huger dwarf. Well, it's not huger than the room, but again, it's a big dwarf.
What did he say?
He said he wanted to be alone. I'm sorry to bother you, but we have been sent as emissaries by Arathis to ask for your support in a new treaty to enforce the laws of time.
He starts moving his eyes very slowly, looks at Little Sparkle, looks at Sikar, looks at Orym, and he
waves, bows.
Yeah, he like kind of grunts, like, "Of course, in my hour of deepest regret and shame, I am attended by an elf."
Sorry.
May we ask what happened and if there's anything we can do to assist you?
Well, I will answer your question, your second question first, and tell you that no, there is nothing anyone can do. Yeah. Looks upward for a second and looks back down. Did you walk through my city?
Yes. Yes,
we did.
Did you see my people?
We did.
As you may realize, I awakened, but my people did not, for their king has shamed them.
How so?
You would ask that. Very well. It is my punishment to wallow in shame for all eternity, so I might as well tell you. Once the dwarven gods were the envy of all other pantheons, and I was the smith king, they all did my bidding. They all answered to me, and in turn, my wisdom guided them and our people to many victories. But then war came, the greatest of wars, a war that seemed endless until it was finally over. I believe it was called the War of Entities. I was urged by my advisors to withdraw, to sign a treaty, but I would not. There was such evil and such violence loose in the Astral Sea. And so one by one, my people, my fellow gods, my family was struck down. Dulin, Marthrad, Moravian, Freka, Beridan, Arunzel, Fresja, Father Thusk, Moradin, Therinzel, my sister, Herula, even Naridan and his hounds, all dead because I would not withdraw. And all of their people, all of those that clung to them for succor, fell as well. So here I am, forever shamed, but now awake so that I may wallow. And he points at the way you came in. Please leave so that I may wallow.
Unfortunately, your defenses destroyed our ship and killed all of our crew, so we can't leave.
Yeah. Says, well, you could leave my chamber.
Well, why, if instead of wallowing, you could make a difference?
A difference how?
Correct the mistake that you made initially and help prevent more deaths and loss. There are still dwarves living, and if we are unable to find a lasting peace, their lives will be forfeit in chaos as well.
Dwarves are smart. I am sure they have moved on to other gods and other champions. The dwarven people do not need me.
We need you, though. We are faced with the threat of Asmodeus, who is leading a coalition of similarly cruel or tyrannical deities. They've enlisted the mercenary pirates of the Gith and the assassins of the Drow and are trying to get other gods to join their side and killing emissaries that would fight against them.
Mm-hmm. I remember Asmodeus. Wily foe.
Ulridan, I understand about losing and great loss. I too have lost all of my people, or most of my people, through many of my own faults, but there are survivors, and the fact that we're trying to rebuild and that we're trying to carry on, I think, says a lot. And certainly I'm on this mission to ensure that whatever remains of my people, that they will carry on. They don't follow me. They don't worship me. But I have a feeling that if you were to help us and help me, that many of the dwarven kind would see how great you are. And so it would be, I know that you are going through a lot of grief and a lot of pain, but as my friend Little Sparkle has said, this might be good for you and for us and for everything.
Yes. Yes, I can see that you have lost much. You may stay here and wallow with me if you desire.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I feel great honored to be that a god has offered me to stay here with him. That is certainly a great honor, but we need to...
I can make you a small stone chair.
That would be great. But I do have to try, and I do have to do everything that I can to help ensure that everything continues. If you're unwilling to help, I would make one humble request that you help us build a new ship so that we can get off this island and be safe about it.
I am not a shipwright.
You're not.
I am not.
You're a weaponsmith.
I was.
Would you like to be again?
I don't think there is any project that could inspire me in my current state.
What about building a sword for the Bronze Prince?
I remember the Bronze Prince, an honorable warrior, respect for law. I remember his old sword, shattered in the war, was it not?
It was.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Bronze Prince would require quite the weapon.
It would require a magnificent weapon.
Yes.
I mean, we did think of you first when we saw the broken sword.
It would have to be a weapon of pure axiomatic might. One that had no real impurities, for the law is pure before it is touched by imperfect beings. Perhaps it would have to be forged through purified magma. He stands up. But where to even find such a thing? And he starts walking towards a wall, waves his hand, and a wall opens, and he just walks through. By the way, there's just like this wave of dust that just like hits you guys when he stands up. And he kind of walks out of the room.
Rush to follow
him. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, don't follow too closely. Because he kind of thunders through his hallway.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to be stepped on.
If one could, mutter. And he walks into another room. And when he walks into that room, he maintains his own orientation, even though he's clearly walked into a room with a different orientation, and then just sort of calmly walks down onto the floor. And you guys realize that this room has a big kiln in it. And by big kiln, I mean, I don't know, it's like the size of a small country.
Oh boy.
At least it seems to be, given the part of it that you can see and the fact that he seems to operate it like a normal sized kiln. But when he walks in, he's like stroking his giant beard and he like snaps his fingers and the kiln just comes to life. And you guys just get this like overwhelming burst of heat as you are presumably trying to like take on the laborious task of walking into this room without, you know, tumbling.
Falling directly into a fire.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't fall into the fire, but you'd definitely fall on your faces. You're like, yes. And he kind of opens a gate in like a smelter, and just like liquid metal begins to pour onto a mold. And he just grabs it. And there's kind of this rod that there's just like white hot, just glowing with like pure heat. And he kind of keeps muttering to himself, gets some like kind of forceps looking things. I don't know, what do you call it? Reverse forceps?
Like pincers?
Pliers?
Yeah.
Half-seps?
Yeah, kind of like kind of big old pliers. And he twists parts of the rod and just kind of shapes it with his hands and the pliers, and then holds it out and blows on it. And it's like he like blows a whole blizzard onto it. Just is just like snow and ice coming out of his mouth, and you guys basically get the opposite effect of what you had earlier, where suddenly you are hit with like bone chilling cold as he cools down this long rod. And again, this is like a rod that he holds in one hand, and it's probably like if he was a normal sized dwarf, this would be maybe 5 feet long. But as he's the size he is, this is like, I don't know, 30 feet long. I don't know, feet.
96 meters.
And he strokes his beard and looks at it. And he says, he looks around at you guys. It seems somewhat surprised that you're in the room. And shows the rod to Orym.
Oh, my.
And he says, well, what do you think?
That is certainly looks good. I think that, yes, this is very good. But don't we need to hammer it into shape?
What? Oh, no, no, no. This is not the sword.
Oh.
This is the shaft for the hammer that I'm going to build that sword.
Oh.
You can't just go into a project like that without custom tools.
Right. I'm sorry. I am a magician, wizard. I show him my hands and
flip over
both sides.
No offense was taken.
Well, thank you.
Well,
I apologize.
This is going to be quite the project. So I am going to need some time to fully concept it and then create this blade. And then, of course, if the Bronze Prince accepts it, then I will join your little coalition.
Oh, that's great.
Now I need a geode. And he like walks out of the room again, kind of in the opposite direction.
Follow?
Continue to follow, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. As you kind of follow him, you realize that you can't. The kiln is between you and the place where he went, and that will literally deal
us.
Yeah, just massive amounts of fire damage to you if you try to walk through.
Sir?
He's just kind of gone.
He's gone. Okay. All right.
But you can kind of hear him muttering and stomping around.
Everyone, for the love of all the gods, don't steal anything.
Everybody looks at Kat.
No.
I'm honestly surprised no one's looking at me.
We can't ever see you. You're in shadow.
Yes.
Right. Somebody says, steal anything, and everybody looks at everybody.
When he says it's going to take him time, do we know how much time?
No, maybe when he comes back, we can ask him.
Or
He seems very engrossed. But hey, this is going somewhat better than I expected when we smashed our boat.
Yeah, yes. I mean, the crew's dead.
Yeah, like I said, once we smashed our boat.
Yes.
There is still the matter of leaving.
Right, is he implying that we should go and come back later, or that he's going to deliver this himself, and...
I don't know. We need to wait for him to come back and get some clarification, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, we still need to figure out a way out of here.
Four days later.
Well, while we wait for Ulradan to return, why don't we take a break this week? Thank you so much for checking us out. If you have questions, oh man, we have gotten some excellent questions, excellent emails from a lot of you out there listening, and we appreciate every letter. We may not respond to every letter that we receive or email that we receive, but we do read them all. And if you'd like to send us your thoughts or whatever is on your mind, fan art, etc., podcast@majorspoilers.com, and we'll be back next week to see if we mark another success in our column or not, hopefully. And until then, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.